The following is a Christians for Messiah Ministries production. Our mandate is to teach God's Word, train God's people, and release God's favor. We now invite you to listen to a powerful message by Dr. Peter Wins as he speaks on the book of Revelation. This is part of a 32-message series called Unexpected Fire. For further study, we encourage you to purchase the book Unexpected Fire by Dr. Peter Wins.
This is study number 7. This study is called The Great Tribulation and the Four Horses. The Great Tribulation is a war. Heaven's strategy, as described in Revelation, can be seen as 3 military campaigns and a final sortie to cancel Satan's rule forever. The tribulation will end with the second coming of Christ. I can find no place in the entire book of Revelation that suggests that Christ will return to earth before the 19th chapter, the end of the book. And no verse in the entire Bible says that he will come and remove his church prior to the Great Tribulation. We will discuss this in greater detail when we get to the 19th chapter and we have time allotted there for this subject. Each of these 3 military campaigns contain 3 noticeable dynamics. In each of these, we find devastating judgments that become increasingly more intense as they unfold. Secondly, there are massive revivals that bring vast multitudes to Christ during each of these 3 military campaigns. And thirdly, the saints, the church, and Israel will rise with holy passion, godly character, and supernatural power as these 3 campaigns unfold. The first campaign takes place when Jesus breaks the 7 seals and the 4 living creatures make war. The second campaign starts as the 7 angels, the archangels who are gathered around Christ, make war. They will blow the 7 trumpets, and judgments worse than the first ones will fall upon the earth. And then the third campaign will take place during the days of the 7th trumpet, when all the armies of heaven will be involved. The 7 angels, it says, will pour out 7 bowls of wrath that the 4 living creatures give them. Jesus will return at the end of the 3rd campaign during the days of the blowing of the last trumpet. And this is in keeping with the scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And verse 51 to 52, this is what we read. Paul says, "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will all be changed in a flash, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised. So when does the Lord return? And when will the dead be raised? In a twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the last trumpet." When is the last trumpet sounded? It sounds at the very end of the tribulation period. The Lord does not come at the sounding of the first trumpet. He comes at the sound of the last trump. A few questions loom before us. Why does God have 3 military campaigns or series of judgments during the tribulation period? Secondly, why must the tribulation period last for 7 full years? Thirdly, why not wipe out the devil and make everything new instantaneously at the beginning instead of going through all of this time of judgment and chaos? And the answer is very clear. We read about it in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. It says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness, but he is patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. That's the theme of the book of Revelation. The Lord allows three campaigns lasting over 7 years with all kinds of trauma in order that pride and rebellion and stubborn hearts will yield bit by bit to the Savior of their souls. The Lord loves people and he wishes that none would perish. And he does everything that is absolutely possible to bring people unto himself. So between each campaign or series of judgments, time will be given for great salvations. Billions and billions of people will be saved during the Great Tribulation. The shed blood of the Lamb that saves man from sin and eternal damnation stretches far out to the very end of the age, and multitudes will respond as the trauma comes around them. Now, we're going to look at the first part of the first campaign, the four horses and their riders. So I'm going to read now Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. Would you follow with me? Revelation 6, verse 1. I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. Then I heard one of the four living creatures say with a voice like thunder, "Come!" I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. When the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come!" Then another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make men slay each other. And to him was given a large sword. When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come!" I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a day's wages, and 3 quarts of barley for a day's wages, and do not damage the oil and the wine." When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come!" I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword and famine and plague and by the wild beasts of the earth. Who breaks the seals? Only Jesus is worthy to break the seals. There are 7 seals on the scroll, and as each seal is broken, something powerful happens. Jesus breaks a seal, and something happens. And with the first 4 seals that are broken, each in turn, the 4 living creatures cry, "Come!" Like a prophetic announcement, an angelic horse comes out of heaven and moves toward the earth. The first one is a white horse. This rider on this white horse will not release any judgment like those that follow. Rather, he will give the call to arms. With his bow, he will fire the flare to initiate heaven's charge, and all of heaven will snap to attention. As all armies should, heaven will declare war before attacking. And so the white charger will release the declaration of war to the enemies. He will come as a prophetic sign, like a banner flapping in the wind. He will ride out before the armies of God. His presence will announce God's victory and Satan's defeat. He is bent on conquest because heaven cannot fail. And he and his fellow soldiers are conquerors. There are four different colored horses that come from heaven. And they are found in other places in the Bible. It's important that we look at the other places in the Bible to discover more details about these horses, lest we misinterpret who they are. So we go to Zechariah chapter 1, verse 8 to 10, and we read the words of Zechariah. He said, "During the night, I had a vision, and there before me was a man riding a red horse. Behind him were red, brown, and white horses. The angel answered, 'They are the ones the Lord has sent to go throughout the earth.'" Zechariah is not finished telling us about horses, because we go to the sixth chapter, verse 1, and we read, "I looked again, and there before me were four chariots. The first chariot had red horses, the second black, the third white, and the fourth dappled or gray, all of them powerful. I asked the angel, 'What are these?' The angel answered me, 'These are the four spirits of heaven going out from standing in the presence of the Lord.' So they went throughout the earth." So what can we learn from these verses? Well, we learn that the horses come from the throne room of God. They are holy ambassadors called spirits of heaven. They stand in the presence of the Lord. The white horse and his rider are servants of the Most High God. Some erroneously suggest that the white horse is the Antichrist. But that does not fit with the Bible. I don't know how they can get this idea, except they have a problem. Because they believe that the rapture will take place at the beginning of the book of Revelation, before the great tribulation starts. But Paul teaches us that the great tribulation can't come and the Lord cannot return. The Lord cannot return until the Antichrist is revealed. So in order for the Lord to come at the beginning, they have to make the Antichrist come before him. So they suggest that the white horse might be the Antichrist. But this is a terrible injustice to the scriptures. For the white horse is no Antichrist. The white horse is a spirit that comes from the throne room of heaven. He's a servant of the Most High God. He's given the honor of calling the armies of heaven to war. He's going before the armies of heaven as the banner carrier, the flag holder, the one who declares war. We read in Revelation 6, verse 8, "They," that is the colored horses and their riders, "were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, plague, and by the beasts of the field." War, famine, and plague, and wild animals will destroy a quarter of the earth's population at this time. And this will likely take place within the first year of the Great Tribulation. In other words, one out of every four people on the planet will die at the beginning of the Great Tribulation. This is by far the clearest sign that the Bible gives to us of when the Great Tribulation begins. When, because of famine war, and plague, we find that 1.5 billion people, a quarter of the earth's population, die within a year from war, famine, and plague. We will know the great tribulation has begun. This is not a trauma that will be happening just in India or some developing nation, but all of the nations of the world, including the United States of America, will see great tragedy. Everybody will know somebody closely who will die at this time. If there are 4 people on the front row of the church, it is likely that 1 of the 4 will die during the first year of the tribulation, if it happens during our lifetime. Before we continue, it would be helpful for us to understand the difference between the judgment that takes place in heaven and the judgments that take place on the earth. Unless you understand that judgments in heaven are different from judgments on the earth, you will not understand the book of Revelation. Let me explain. In heaven, each of us must give an account of how we lived on the earth before the Lord God Almighty. At that time, it will be an individual judgment. You cannot say, it was my mommy's fault, it was my dad's fault, it was because of my pastor or my husband. You can't blame any other person. The Lord will just ask you what you did with what you were given. Those who were given much will be judged more harshly, the scripture says. But judgment in heaven is an individual matter. On the earth, judgment is more of a package deal. It's not that you do not get judged for what you do right here on earth, because what you sow, you will reap. But often there are judgments that come upon you because of the people who are around you. In other words, if you were born into a certain country and there are curses and judgments on that country because of wicked leadership and the oppressive sins of darkness, curse-causing sins that are on that nation, then you, because you were born into that nation, will suffer some of the poverty, some of the disasters that are judgments on that nation. Many families are born or come about with generational curses because their parents were involved in dark, wicked things, and a generational curse has passed down upon seemingly innocent children. The judgments on the earth are package deals. I believe that the hurricane named Katrina that hit the Gulf Coast and killed many people was a judgment from God aimed for one at the city of New Orleans because of its witchcraft and many of its dark and perverse ways that are celebrated there. In that place, there is no doubt good people. There were no doubt some Christians there who were faithful servants of the living God. But the city was cursed, and judgment came upon it. And some who were there, it's almost like they were guilty by association. The judgment came on the city, and that affected everybody who was there. When judgments come upon the United States of America, they will come in the form of natural disasters, terrorist attacks, all kinds of things. The Bible says that these 3 of these horsemen will bring famine, war, and plague, and they will cause many people to die. Some good people will die, while some evil people will die. If we do not have a perspective of eternity, we will not be able to understand this. Your life on this planet is like a blip on the computer screen of eternity. It's just a small portion of who you are. If your sand, if your life was like the sand on the beach, this life is like one grain of your life. So whether you live to be 5 years old, or 10 years old, or 80 years old, or even older, it will go by so quick, like a vanishing vapor, a blade of grass that comes up and withers before the day is out because of the heat of the sun. So is our life on this earth. So regardless of what happens here, if we only have hope in this life, we are of all people most miserable, Paul says. But we have hope beyond this life, in eternity. And that's where the Bible tells us to lay up treasures, where moth cannot get in, and rust cannot corrupt, and thieves cannot steal. And so what happens here is important, but it is not the expanse of our lives. So as we go into this great tribulation period, there will be a people of God who have such an anointing over them that they will not be afraid of death. The Bible says of them that they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives even unto the death. So these judgments come. The first one was a white horse, but the second was a red horse. We read in Revelation 6, verse 4, then another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make men slay each other. And to him was given a sword. This rider releases war on the earth. When this happens, nation will attack nations. Civil war will erupt in many countries. Hundreds of city gangs will launch assault on their neighborhoods, and violence will rule the streets of major cities. Racial arrogance will lead to ethnic cleansing and genocide. Entire peoples will be decimated. Some nations will be completely obliterated. Not every nation will survive to make it into the new millennium. God will lift his hand, and human restraint will be cast aside. Greed, oppression, pride will have simmered for centuries, and suddenly it will be allowed free rein. The cup of pent-up malice and chaos will be unleashed. Terrorist activity was one of the things I mentioned in this list. Right now, the world is in great fear because of Islamic fanaticists who are involved in terror activities. The nations of Europe don't quite know what to do. The whole of the transportation industry in the United States has gone on alert because of terrorist activities. While we have been protected to a great extent on airplanes, there is very little protection at our ports with all the cargo that is coming in day after day to American soil. There will be, in the days to come, much more terrorist activity than what we have seen. But let me give you an insight for just a minute on the Muslim threat. The Bible does not tell us about Muslims in the tribulation period, but it does tell us about their demise prior to the end of the age. The Bible makes it very clear that the power of Islam will be broken before the end of the age. If we read in Isaiah chapter 17 and verse 1, we discover something about Damascus the capital city of Syria. It says, an oracle concerning Damascus. See, Damascus will no longer be a city, but will become a heap of ruins. That has not happened yet in all of history, but it's in the Word of God. We know it will take place. Then in Zechariah chapter 9 and verses 1 to 4, we read about Lebanon. It says, the word of the Lord is against Tyre and Sidon, two of the main cities of Lebanon. It says, though they are very skillful, Tyre has built herself a stronghold. She has heaped up silver like dust and gold like the dirt of the streets. But the Lord will take away her possessions and destroy her power on the sea, and she will be consumed by fire. So we know that the great seaports of Lebanon will be totally destroyed. In Zechariah chapter 9, verse 5 and 6, we read, Tyre will be consumed by fire, and then Ashkelon will see it and fear. Gaza will writhe in agony, and Ekron too, for her hope will wither. Gaza will lose her king, and Ashkelon will be deserted. Foreigners will occupy Ashdod, and I will cut off the people of the Philistines. This is a word concerning the Palestinian people who live in Gaza on the shores of the Mediterranean Sea in Israel. It says that their hope is in the power of Lebanon and Syria. But when Syria and Lebanon lose all of their militant power, it says that the people of Gaza will writhe in agony, for her hope will be gone. That's exactly what will happen to the Muslims just before the Great Tribulation. I am not saying that there will not be still Arab peoples on the earth. There will be many. And there will still be an Islamic religion. But their power to be a threat to the people of the world will be broken. I wish I had the time to further explain this. Let me say to you that with all that is happening in Europe and the United States, with the increase of terrorism coming from Muslim fanatics, it will come to a place where there will suddenly be a backlash from the nations of the world. They will not put up with it anymore. That will erupt into a war at the beginning or just before the Great Tribulation, and the power of Islam will be broken. During that time, many Islamic nations will come against Israel. And all who come against Israel, the Bible says, at this time will injure themselves. We read about it in Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 3 and 4. All who come against her will injure themselves. And then we read there in Zechariah chapter 12 that all of those who attack Israel shall be destroyed. The Bible tells us that the land of Israel will then grow. As Israel defends herself, she will take on more land. So the Lord promised Israel to Abraham, and he told Abraham how large the nation of Israel would become. In Genesis chapter 15, verses 18 to 19, the Lord makes a covenant with Abraham. It says, on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham and said, to your descendants, I give this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates. So Israel's going to grow, probably from the Nile to the Euphrates. Most of Lebanon, parts of Egypt, Syria, and Iraq, parts of Iraq, will become the land of Israel at the beginning of the Great Tribulation. And there will be wars like the world has not known at that time. There's a third black horse, or a third horse, and it is black. We read in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 5, I looked, and there before me was a black horse, and its rider was holding a pair of scales. An angel spoke out and said, a quart of wheat for a day's wages and 3 quarts of barley for a day's wages, and do not damage the oil and the wine. This is a picture of drought and agricultural disaster. It will come with diseased products and natural disasters that devastate crops. Famine will not only affect the third world countries, but the developing nations as well. Epidemics like hoof and mouth disease, mad cow disease, Asian bird flu will devastate livestock, and new strains of plant diseases and mutant insects will destroy fruits and vegetables of entire regions. Millions of people will die from starvation. And at that time, the price of food will skyrocket out of control. That's what happened. When Katrina took place, the hurricane hit the Gulf shores and the gasoline prices soared. One day, at that time, it was $2.30 for a gallon of gasoline in America. The next day, at some gas stations, the gasoline was $6 per gallon. During this time, when famine comes because of strange weather conditions and all of the traumas that I have mentioned, the price of food will skyrocket. And the angel announces to what extent it will go. The angel says, a quart of wheat for a day's wages. If you work that out, a quart of wheat can make a loaf of bread. If a man's wages was just $100, it means that a loaf of bread is no longer $2, but now $100. That will be the price of groceries during that time. But at the same time, the angel prophesies, do not damage the oil and the wine. This is a strange word that comes in the middle of this first series of judgments during the first campaign when these four horses are going forth. The angel says, don't damage the oil and the wine. We need to go through the Bible to discover the language here that is being used and what the oil and wine represent in the Bible. I'll tell you up front. It is the mercy ministry of the church. The mission efforts to supply food and water and clothing and shelter and medical supplies to the poor and the needy. It is Christian relief programs that will go everywhere. Help will come from organized church groups as well as Christian families. And it will not just be natural. It will become supernatural, like the multiplying of the loaves and fishes and the multiplying of the wine, turning the water into wine, the supernatural things that Jesus did. He said, do you see the works that I have done? Greater things than these shall you do. And when there is no food available and when there is pain in the world, there will be the mercy ministries of the church. Now, where do I get this from? Well, we go to the story of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10 and verse 34. You know the story. Jesus told it to the expert of the law who was challenging him. And the expert of the law said, who is my neighbor? And he said, well, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and he fell among thieves. And two religious people walked by and ignored him, went by on the other side. But then a Samaritan came, somebody who didn't fit the box. And he got down off his donkey because he had compassion for the man who was lying wounded and beaten in the ditch. And he bandaged him up. But before bandaging him up, he poured in the oil and the wine. This is symbolic of the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus, the work of the cross and the ministry of healing. And this ministry was given from the Good Samaritan to the Jewish man who was lying in the ditch. So this will happen in the time of the great tribulation. For the angel prophesies it. He says, do not hinder the oil and the wine when everything is out of control and the world is caving in. The ministry of the church will go forth like never before in all of history. And then there is a fourth horse. It says, I looked and there before me was a pale horse. His rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. And he was given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague. All of these horses were. So the plague now comes. Diseases of every kind. Bubonic plague, Ebola virus, AIDS, and many other flu viruses and outbreaks that do not have cures will go from one to the other, and mass populations will be decimated. These, along with wild beasts, will kill 1.5 billion people on the earth. Jesus says in Matthew 24, verse 6 to 8, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All of these are the beginning of birth pains. He teaches us not to be afraid, but to hold on to him, for something is about to be born. He says these first traumas during the Great Tribulation are birth pains of a birth. And let me tell you what is about to be born. It's the powerful end time church of the living God and the emergence of the Jewish people redeemed and revived and united with Messiah Jesus. The Lord is coming when darkness covers the earth. We read about this in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 to 3. His glory will come upon his people. It says, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. Darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness will cover its people. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. And nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. There are great things coming during the time of the great tribulation. And even when it seems like everything could not be worse, in the midst of the worst darkness that the world has witnessed, the people of God will begin to shine in the midst of a perverse and dark generation. And they will come to the aid of rebels and sinners. And God will draw multitudes unto himself. It is a great day that is coming. The Lord says, do not be afraid. So I encourage you not to disobey the Lord. Don't be full of fear at the great tribulation, but be expectant for the miracles and the anointing of the Lord that will come upon you at that time.